Are you are the real question is are you a virgin?
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
Starts over again. Oh, that's what born again is, right? I had a pastor's daughter say that to me once. She's like, I'm a virgin, and we all looked at her, and she's like, every Sunday I'm born again. She's like, I'm a pastor's daughter, and I was like, I don't think it works that way. She's like, yeah. You're not a pastor's daughter, and I was like, you're right.
I'm almost positive it doesn't work that way.
I'm just saying, if you're a pastor and you got a daughter, you might want to lock in on that. This is your year, man.
My man, Austin Harris, in the smoking section, the milkman. Yeah.
Hey, welcome to our first episode of the Unusual Sundays.
The Unusual Sundays.
Hopefully you air this tonight.
My dude, first and foremost, of course, thank you for coming on the show. And I know we had like a 2-hour debate earlier, and then we were kind of like a little more inspired to do this one. But yeah, man, thank you. Thank you for coming on the show, dude.
Thank you for having me back, man. I appreciate it.
Of course. Dude, I'm going to be trying to juggle Facebook Live, Instagram Live, and then just the live.
I believe in you, man. You got this.
So, you know, it's hard for me to multitask things.
Hey, man, you put all 2 brain cells to it. I'll wait right here, man. It's your show. I'm just a guest here.
Hey. But we always
say back at Sunrun, hey, man, I just work here.
I just fucking work here. I swear to God.
I just work here, man.
Whatchamacallit? Yeah, nah. First and foremost, let's start off with Unlucky Charms. Yeah, because before when you first came on the show, yeah, it was kind of a thought expression, you know, something that you were kind of wanting to look to get into. But what's that journey been like? Because I know you got a little bit of dirt under your fingernails now. So what's that been like for you?
The first time I was on here, I had not filmed our first episode yet. We had kept mm-hmm. putting it off, pushing it back. And I think I had in between knowing I was going to come on the next one, I was like, oh, I would like to get one out just so the next time I come on, I'd be like, hey, I have this. And then I just ended up like pushing it back again. And I think the second time you had me on was where I was like, okay, like now's the time.
Yeah, because I had you on the smoking section first,
mm-hmm.
and then you came and did the usual Tuesday, right?
Yeah, and I had planned that I was going to say, like, oh, come check out our channel or whatever, but I had made it and not uploaded anything yet by that time. And now I believe we're up to our 4th episode. We've had mm-hmm. 3 guest stars, with you being our first for our first episode and our first guest. For New Year's, we did an episode without a guest, and then we've got one more ready, and then a few more people I've reached out to.
And what's that like? What's that been like for you, reaching out to people? Like, I know for a lot of people that the ask is the hardest part. So how's that been for you? How has that made you feel when you're reaching out to try to get guests and stuff?
I have kind of waited because I was trying to they're going to, like, if they think your offer is legitimate, like, they're going to do a little background on you. They're going to look through your stuff. And I've got, like, a 2-month-old channel with 4 uploads and, like, 6 views or whatever it may be. It's more than that, but you know what I mean? It's, like, 7. My mom has multiple accounts. But,
Hi, Mom.
I just now, New Year's, was like, I'm going to start going past people I know and kind of pushing myself out of my own comfort zone. So far, they've all been influential people in my life. And I'll keep that theme going, because obviously if something you do clicked with me, like, I would like other people to have that same wealth of knowledge or experience. But now, to answer your question specifically, now that I've started reaching out, it's humbling more than anything. That's what I was trying to get to, is it's humbling more than anything. It's like, how do they perceive you? They like to say it in the military, you turn the map around, and that means to look at it through, like, your enemy's perspective.
Mm.
So you're getting this DM, and mind you, like, by the time you even decide to read my DM, I'm probably like 3, 5, 10 back. So, you know, I want like there to be a good first impression. I'd like to keep it all in one longer message instead of like broken up messages. I feel like that comes across really like, I feel like these are all things that they look at and it'll decide if it's even worth like their time. And like, mm-hmm. I'm not trying to waste anybody's time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's even like that feeling like, yeah, it's humbling. It kind of gives you that feeling of like insecurity a little bit. You know,
that's where the humbling feeling is kind of coming from. It's like a little bit of humility there. Like, it's almost like insecurity. Like, oh, am I ready yet? Like, is this the one? I don't want to wait. Like, maybe I should be a little bigger.
But yeah. But then it's like, how do you get bigger unless you get the proper people to
collaborate
with, you know?
That's why we were trying to get into some of our own episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But the point of the Unlucky Charms podcast was to promote like local artists and like struggling artists or people who've been in it for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I kind of always danced around like, man, I remember sitting down at 14 years old and writing like scripts, scripts. I tried to do my own screenplays. I tried to do my own YouTube. I tried to watch as many free things as I could about writing, screenwriting, creative writing classes, and then just went into manual labor. And then I remember being sent out to California for the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
I will answer that in a second.
Yeah, we'll get there. Keep going.
When they sent me out there, California, I was in between San Diego and LA, mm-hmm. which I feel like is a great place for comedy. And then I was like, yeah, man, I'm gonna do this. And I actually remember sitting down, writing, and I was hitting the bottle a little hard. I don't know about you guys. I call it my creative juice. I know the greats have a process. You write it drunk, edit it sober. Yep. I've expanded on that philosophy. I like to get like near blackout, wake up, and then like kind of read it like somebody else. Because like you don't remember what you wrote. So you're like, oh, wow, like. This is pretty cool. And then you drink more because that's where my good ideas came from. Hemingway would be proud.
Oh my God. And so what, So what made you want to do a co-host multi-person podcast versus doing something solo, like a Tim Dillon or a Burr?
I know I'm not completely personable. I am funny. Sometimes that comes at other people's expenses. I don't always mean it. Not everybody has a dark sense of humor. And the first thing I say shouldn't always be the first thing that comes to mind shouldn't be the first thing I say. So mm-hmm. I kind of like the idea. And like most late night TV shows have a co-host, right? Someone mm-hmm. personable, someone to bounce off of. And, you know, shout out Marcus. He's been there ride or die. I shot this all by him and he knows like he's good looking. He's like humble. Like great guy to be around. Like there's stuff like I can't even say like I wouldn't say on the pod. I can say, but I wouldn't say on the pod that like he's
been there. Man, just kissed that fool already, bro.
Honestly, bro, he probably deserves it.
Fucking A, bro.
He's my whole getting hacked.
Somebody bombing your stream or what?
No, I just watch too much porn on this. So
things just pop up. Are you getting swatted, bro?
No, I wish, right? All three viewers. But no, Marcus is a good like antithesis to me. He's had some killer ones, but he doesn't like comedy isn't what he's going for. He's just like really like a down to earth kind of guy. And I feel like the blend. I feel like the difference in backgrounds we have. And then I feel like being able to, I think I'm funnier with other people. I think some of my funniest things come off the back end of someone else is saying. So it's just kind of more opportunity and it's like more time to just kind of sit there and really think about what I say instead of the first thing I say, which with a digital footprint, I feel like is just protecting yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. No, because even Save asks, shout out, man. Shout out my dude, Save, co-host of the Usual Tuesday. But he asked if I myself saw a difference in doing, you know, pods with other people and a pod by myself. And there is. Yeah, because solo, yeah, I feel like the intrusive thoughts can win. And especially when you get up, like, I'm not as worried about my digital footprint, right? Like, because I'm not worried about my fingerprint, right? Like, I'm not worried about that. Like, I know I'm going to make mistakes in life. And if somebody can't give me the space for recourse, then that's fine. I just don't need to be in your life.
I wouldn't worry about them either if I burned them off.
but you feel me? But yeah, there is times, and it's easy to get on a rant about something and sound so right when there's nobody else contesting it. You know what right. I mean? Like, bro, me and you today had a 2-hour fucking back and forth, and I was like, I'm about to get on the treadmill. 45 minutes later, I'm about to get on the treadmill. Wait, like, no, wait, motherfucker.
I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I take dinosaur discussions very seriously.
We're not doing that right now.
I was going to say, you got an hour to burn. You should just get pull them up on the phone right now. We'll make this a 3-way call, man.
We're not doing that one. Not tonight. Not that one, because, bro, I'm not ready. I'm
the opposite. It made me look up a bunch of things on my phone after.
I was literally quite so exhausted. I was like, I can't do this. I can't do this workout.
But I was gaslighting myself. I was like, you're not crazy. I was like, you're not crazy. And then I would like find the information that I couldn't fully remember. And I was like, I knew it. I knew it. This guy doesn't know shit about dinosaurs.
But there's the, but see, but that is, that to me is the, don't start. They're asking about dinosaurs. What's your favorite dinosaur?
Do you like real dinosaurs or like, oh, hey, shout out Angry Capitalist. That was my second guest star, actually.
It's all gang,
a little yeah, a little reunion we got going on right here. The real ones, or do you like the Jurassic Park ones?
Let's just go both.
The real one, I like the Utah Raptor. It's like the closest thing to, it's like what Jurassic Park was like kind of aiming for, I guess. Even they acknowledged that they were like smaller, like turkey sized, but the Utah Raptor is like Labrador sized, and that's pretty cool. I like that. And then I guess just the regular raptors from Jurassic Park. So, and that wasn't a very diverse answer, but I think one of the things that I do really like about dinosaurs is just how like. Dude, it can bring a family together, I think. I remember sitting on the couch one time, and my son loves dinosaurs. I've got, the Jurassic Park where they find the raptor skeleton, the opening scene. Mm-hmm. I've got that tattooed on my shoulder blade right here. But my son loves dinosaurs, and it was like something about Jurassic Park was coming up. And he's like, you would be a T-Rex in Jurassic Park. And I was like, that's pretty cool, I think.
That's a high compliment.
I was like, what's mommy? And he's like, the Indominus Rex. And I was like, all right. And then he specifically wants to be Blue. That one's his favorite.
Yeah, it is a little crazy how they got to that point with Jurassic Park. Like, this dude's training, you know?
Honestly, yeah.
But her character design, this relationship, all this shit, like, and then what she actually does in the movie, I think is super cool. I thought that was a kind of a cool direction, though, that they went. Especially if they were intelligent as such back then. You know, I know it's all sensationalized or whatever. But that would be it. Like, they did it so well. They did the movie so well. It would have led me to believe those things. You know,
well, I mean, even things in the movie, like in universe, they explain like they're like, yeah, we just kind of like guessed. Like, that's how the whole like them like breeding happened, is because they just weren't paying attention to the genes of frogs they were splicing with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they weren't like. Even to them, like in the, it's like in the first hour, they're like, this isn't like 100% accurate. It's kind of just the miracle of us gene splicing these monstrosities together.
Yeah, that's kind of like what the Jeff Goldblum character was explaining in that first, like, God, I can't remember the initial doctor's name.
And Malcolm?
Yeah, Malcolm, Dr. Malcolm or whatever.
The chaos theory?
He looks like fucking, he looks like the fucking Colonel. He looks like Colonel Sanders from fucking KFC.
Oh, you mean the guy who owns the park?
Yeah, him.
Yeah. Hammond.
Malcolm was who again?
You're Jeff Goldblum. I thought that was who.
That was the Jeff Goldblum character. Okay. But they were saying something like they're like, oh, how'd you guys do the gene replication, this and that? And they're like, oh, we use these frogs. And then they're like, well, how do you know they're not mating? And they're like, well, they're all female. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no. He's like, you don't get it. Life finds a way. Right. It makes a way. And that's kind of like where I think he was getting at, is like, you know, all these different species after a while, especially like, what is it? There's frogs. And then there's like a couple other species where, like, if you have two females and you leave them alone, like, they will find out a way to.
Oh, yeah. I think it's some fish. Yeah. I don't want to say it, but there's like a couple fish that like change gender. There's like one fish that like merges together when they mate. That's like one of the deep sea ones. No, I think his thing more was like that we were like kind of playing God with these creatures, and that it was going to like come back on us in a way we can't, like, we literally cannot control them. And then what's even crazier is like, they kind of made them aggressive on purpose. Like, they said that it's because nobody wants to go to, like, nobody wants to see a lobotomized raptor. So like, it's kind of like not only cause and effect, but like getting your just desserts. You have your raptors, but they also run through Los Angeles now.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, I don't know if I would ever be like, I don't think that's a deal breaker. It's like, oh, this thing has a fucking vagina. Nope, not watching this dinosaur. You know, it's not like, I mean, you know.
One of the cool things I actually liked about like the rest of Jurassic Park is almost anything else, like the books, kind of go into like the logistics of how that stuff works. Mm-hmm. And in the books, they're like, that little scene that Hammond takes everyone through where like the, you know, how they come down right as the raptor's hatching like perfectly or whatever.
Yes.
They're like, yeah, that happens once like every 1,000 times. Like, almost all the other, like, they have like a 98 mortality rate with those eggs, so much so that they have them on a separate island where they do it in secret so that people don't see how much like they're messing it up, like, because they they just don't have the science like there yet.
Yeah, dude, Jurassic Park, like, I kind of lost touch with it after the original trio.
Okay, I'd probably even put the third one on there, to be honest. Well, one and two stay very close to the books, and if you haven't read them, they are a treat. I do enjoy them, and they're a little shorter.
Yeah, I think it was you too that made me that I brought that to my attention. That
I might have, because when we were on the road, they had I think it's Books A Million exclusive. They reprint things, and one of them is like the Jurassic Park, and it's kind of like in the scale, like a scaly font, and it's both one and two in one thick like Bible-y book. It's that thing's sick. One and two are like, they're good. Dragon Teeth is actually a good book too. This one actually got published after his death, so a lot of people probably haven't heard about it. But it is a little older. I love talking about dinosaurs. If you can't tell,
I know. I was gonna say, my man,
I'll speed run it. It's a fictional story about how they found like dinosaur bones, and it's about this guy who wants to go on this expedition, but it's like looked down upon. Like, it's not like, and it's not just looked down upon. They're like, it's in the middle of the Wild West. Like, there's bandits out there. Like, it's all like, it's Red Dead out there. It's during the California Gold Rush.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, it touches on real topics, like how people were making like false discoveries to kind of beat their peers, robbing each other. Like, dude, it's a really good book. It's called Dragon Teeth. I think they released it. He finished it, but he never published it. They released it after his death.
Well, publishers of Dragon Teeth, if you hear this podcast, you can sponsor us.
Yeah,
we're open to sponsorship.
Audio. What is that? What is the Kindle audiobook? One? Audiobook? Audible, yeah.
Shout out Audible.
Shout out Audible.
You guys need a lovely podcast to sponsor. You have two hosts of two separate podcasts. And We can make it work.
Yeah. Look how low your voice dropped for that one.
Because you got to soothe them, man, you know?
Yeah, you gotta... I think I'm going to do the rest of my podcast like this.
A little ASMR.
Okay,
well,
no, I don't like that anymore.
What was it? What was it when they would chew? When they would chew food?
ASMR. You just without the talking.
Mukbang.
No, that's what. Isn't that when you eat a bunch of food?
Yeah, that is like when you just eat food and they record it.
Yeah.
So what's the difference of ASMR than mukbang?
ASMR is like ASMR can be like talking. ASMR could be like the wind blows through your hair, or it could be stuff like. Yeah, some people use it to fall asleep. I don't really believe in it. I've seen some of them, but I can never sit. I have to like be engaged with things, so that's probably like the worst form of content for me. But people who need like people who need like audio and like stimulation and stuff, I think it's like better for them.
I think I could listen to like a 2-hour recording of Morgan Freeman ASMR.
Just reading the phone book.
Just telling me I fucking suck, dude. Like, you know, like something to work out to. Just like,
I need him to narrate my life like Shawshank Redemption.
Oh my God.
That'd be worth it.
Oh, but going back earlier to Cisco, see, I think this is a good reason and a solid, well, I don't want to say reason, but this is a solid difference between having somebody as a co-host or a guest on a podcast. I think this would be good for people hearing some of this stuff, like, because we're too. Though I may be a little more seasoned, we're two new podcasters. You know what I mean? And I think it is good for people who may want to record solo, because you've listened to some of my earlier stuff and I've recorded solo. And, you know, you went straight for like guests, like have co-hosts and stuff, which to me, I was way too insecure for that. So I do appreciate your boldness. You know what I mean? I think it's good to have other people there because, you know, you can just get on these rants, right? And like sometimes I think we can just kind of get lost in the sauce where those intrusive thoughts come in. And the next thing we're way down fucking yonder. I mean, we do it on the usual Tuesday and there's three of us. We do it all the fucking time.
Yeah.
Like, we'll talk about one thing. Next thing we're talking about fucking, you know.
I think, take me to the island. I have things that I'm going to do on my own. They just aren't a podcast. So like I plan on hitting like stand up soon, bombing on stage. He doesn't live in the same state as me. He can't come to that show with me. You know, he can't be a part of my act, but we can do this together. This could be our thing. And not everybody is like this. I personally find myself needing, I don't know how to explain it. I'm more likely to follow through on something once I've told you I'm going to do it. Even if I, in my head, was like, I'll put it off another week. That stops me from pushing it back another week.
Because it's already in the zeitgeist.
Oh, I'll put a gun in my mouth if you're like, hey, weren't you going to do that podcast? And you're like, no, I was getting around to it. Like, it's the only time I care what people think about me. Because I just won't say it. Like, if I don't, like, I've been wanting to do a podcast for a year, but I've told maybe like three people. When you get someone else involved in it, like, it becomes a little more real.
Yeah.
I need that for smaller things in my life, but not everybody's like that.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting because
I just found it helps me more. Started with gym partners. I would be more likely to go to the gym if you sent me a text.
Or I'm gonna go that extra 10 minutes because they're not ready.
There was some times when we were in the when we were just too broke off and you were like, oh, I'm tired, like I don't want to do it today. That would be like, I was like, I wasn't gonna do it either. I just hadn't said it yet. And then you were like, oh, no, I'm going to bed early tonight. And I was like, if I go to the gym, I will be better than him eventually.
Yeah.
So there is like a reverse accountability where I remember a couple times I was totally going to go to bed. And you're like, I don't have it in me. And I was like, I do. I'm about to show him.
I know, it'd make me get up.
Dog in me.
It'd make me fucking get up. There was not a lot of times, I don't think, I know for sure that I didn't go without you, but there was very seldom times that you would go without me. And it was always like, I'm too broke off, dog.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you, but it was definitely motivation.
Yeah, no, there was always, it was always that, who's going to carry the fucking boats, dude? It's gonna carry the canoes. What, you gonna be a little bitch right now? like fuck, dog. Like,
I hold myself accountable in like other ways. Like, I won't like I don't like getting into like treats and snacks until like you've done your chores for the day, or I limit myself to one soda a day, and like I like it with dinner, so it just goes with dinner. I don't even usually, other than coffee, I don't usually let myself have another liquid until I've had 1 gallon of water in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that everyone's like, oh, well, you know, the military probably disciplined that into you. They're just kind of things I started doing on my own because I will not say no to things. It mm-hmm. is very easy for me to just indulge and like make an excuse, or like, I'll make it up.
Mm-hmm.
I'll blow money because I will make it back. That's not a.
I will make that shit
back. I will make it back. Yeah, I'm not worried about it. I'm almost never worried about doing it. It's like usually like when I say like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't mean, oh, hey, I'm freaking out. I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, I literally don't know what's preventing me from getting there. And then once I do, like, yeah, we're just going to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I remember too, even like stepping out to Key West and like, when we hit those, you know, we're on these tall ass cribs. It's hot as fuck. It's slippery. And I remember we had like one of like the captain. It was like one of the main captain's house or some shit. I can't remember, but it was like an important person's house. And I remember Tucker was there fucking dogging us. Shout out Tucker. Tucker was there fucking dogging us, dude. And I just remember like, we were like, fuck, how are we going to do it? How this, that, and the third, like, damn,
oh,
we're
going to be on
the We're going to be out here all this time, bro. This is impossible. And I remember, like, we all just kind of got to that point. We're like, fuck it. Like, we're just going to do it, dog. Like, this is, and I remember Tim was kind of like, he's like, yeah. He's like, but I don't like that. He's like, I don't like that. Like, you and Jay Mike had to come up here. I was like, dog, like, if this is what it takes, it's what it takes, bro. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm down here helping him. I'm not doing, and like, and I remember that was when he was trying to get me to help down there those first couple days, and I just couldn't hang. It was too high of a building, bro. I was struggling with it.
I joke about the partying changing us, but I think Key West definitely did change something in me, because I remember like even being told we were going there and what time of the year it was. I remember like getting there just like, you know, make it through the month, see if I can last, because dude, I do not do well in heat. I don't know if you could have gathered that about my complexion, but I don't retain the sun very well. It just, mm-hmm. I flake, or I burn, and then I peel, and then I'm whiter than I was before, and then I burn again.
Mm-hmm. And dude, like, I remember just those first couple days being there. It was hot as dick, bro. And I just remember even thinking, like, how many of us are going to, like, fall off like the face, like, you know, of this planet, bro, because it's just so fucking, like, it's ridiculously hot. And then I remember as we're like kind of going through it, it had to be maybe June-ish status, but it's when I moved crews. I remember like me and Chris were like fucking throwing up in front of his house, dude. And it was just like, dog, like, I now, like, because I didn't want to be pussy. And I know that's like probably toxic masculinity in me or whatever, but I didn't want to be pussy. Like, I can hang, dog. Like, you know, look at that fucking, like, oh, who ain't got that fucking dog in him, dog? Like, you know, like, I'm about to get this shit. But, you know, but then you see other people dying too. And then it kind of like makes you hold yourself accountable, because it's kind of like that mindset of like, if he's struggling, then I need to be struggling too. You know, if he's up there, I need to be up there too. You know, like that team mindset of, you know, I always liked how you said it, like, the job is done when everybody comes home.
Yeah, that would have been, that could have changed our experience. Like, it would have been like a completely different experience had that just been a thing. And that's, what's crazy is that was one community and we couldn't pull that off. I've been to another solar company since, and they will drive like 20, 40 minutes to like come help someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people are, especially with those crews, they were so worried about like their speed and shit, getting home and being able to chill type shit, you know, making good money and get home and chill. And it's cool, you know, make your paper, you know what I'm saying? But it did suck. And I know we were that crew that would pull up mm-hmm. at all times. You know what I mean? Like, hey, they're over here, pull up on them. Oh, they're over there. Hey, let's pull up on them. Like, we're still here. Like, I still got it in me. Like, we kind of finished a little fast. Bro, I could lay another 10 panels, bro. What's up? You know what I mean? Pull some wire real quick, dog. Sock down some feet. We're out of here. You know what I mean? Definitely not do like a whole job. Fuck all that. Fuck all that noise.
I don't know how deep you're trying to get, but some of that stuff is kind of why I don't really want to like keep working like that, man. We were busting it out just for them to like not have like to dissolve the team after that. Yeah. In other companies, I've almost slipped off the roof for paneling in the rain because like it just absolutely had to be done that day, or it was like we'd been there like 12 hours and they were already worried about our overtime before we even left that day, like kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I almost slipped off the roof once last year and they let me go the same day, unrelated. And then the next time it was the same week, like it happened on like a Monday. One of the pipes had like, it was solar for the pools, not like,
thermal,
and one we just didn't get the glue on there enough and it just jetted out, and I just like my foot caught on the water and I just slid down all the way, and that was like Monday. And then Thursday they were like, hey man, we're just falling out of season and you're our newest hire. And I'm like, cool, like almost dying for companies that don't give me insurance.
Yeah, bro, you know, there has been a serious disconnect since like doing travel, and very low key, we were like cream of the crop of that company when it comes to installing and what the type of money we were bringing in by completing these projects. You know what I mean? And it was just nutty to me that it's like, yeah, we're getting it done. We are getting it done, but I am watching dudes throw up mm-hmm. from the heat. Dudes who don't even say hungover. Because there's dudes who don't drink, right? Mm-hmm. Who I'm watching struggle in this fucking heat, bro. Like, or just the workload, period. Bro, hooking, like, so if people could imagine, right? Anybody who's going to, you know, let's talk some blue collar shit, right? For people who may want to know why. I think that's a good controversial topic. Blue collar work, to me, is underappreciated and undervalued, right? Like, we have a fucking society now that's being built on sending our sons and daughters to school for fucking shit that's not gonna like serve any real purpose. Like, you know what I mean? Not to knock anybody's education because it's more than what I have, but like, let's look at the applicability of what we're doing here, right? Like, we're not only learning like electricity, but we're also bringing clean electricity to the world. So we're providing a service and we're also learning like a trade. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're learning a trade, bending pipe, land glass, finding a fucking rafter. How far is a rafter span? You know what I mean? Or what is a fire setback? You know what I'm saying? Like, we learned this shit, and this is building code. This is building code. This is electrical coding, right? Like, there's some shit, like with thermal, I don't know how much, like I don't know how much you guys learned, like, with plumbing. But I'm pretty sure you guys have to learn some stuff about like how water flows and this and that, like, you know, but that's basic. You're starting to learn the basics of plumbing. You know what I'm saying? And then maybe what else would that be considered, like irrigation or some shit? I don't know.
They get into some real stuff when you get past the installer part and start doing like what would be the electricians. They have like, you got to like hook it up to the house and the source. Yeah. And that is like, that's some like, I ain't going to say it's like PV, but it ain't just show up on a Monday and Friday you're doing it by yourself kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get that far. I wasn't there long enough. I don't really know if I have too much of an interest in that side of it. It's just a reliable, probably a reliable skill to have in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
What you were saying before, I read this before. This isn't my quote, but this is... Still, every time I hear it, kind of makes me laugh. We're in like the timeline.
How about tech layoffs?
That's not, that's not things I know offhand. quick, ask me about Pokemon. No, we live in a world now where AIs get to create all the art and we do all the manual hard labor work.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not the future I really wanted to live in.
Yeah.
I didn't make that up, but that one, I think about that one all the time now. And it's, dude, it's rough. Like, why aren't these robots laying glass, dude?
Well, that's the thing is you will know. I feel that right now AI is still at a point where I can tell with my naked eye, bro, what is made by AI.
Right.
Because I can tell what's been painted between what's been painted and what's been hand-drawn. Right. I can tell what's done with graffiti and what's been done with airbrush. You know, like I can spot those fucking differences. And
we are in that last decade of being able to easily distinguish that, though. I guarantee that.
Why they haven't begun to use any kind of automation for building houses and schools and shit like that, my guy, I can guarantee you, I do not know. I think they have the capability for it. Like they could build like a full-scale pad, right? Full-scale pad and get the job done. But I think the problem that they have is one, bro, I've been in builds, right? Like ground up builds. I've been in builds, bro, roughing in, and like a whole side of an apartment building get changed. So you have dudes who are now coming back in and ripping out like nice. Yeah. What was that? Was that your dildo?
Or it your was butt? My straw, but nothing fell over.
Oh, so not your butt plug.
No, that's still there.
But you know, I don't think they have the technology for the things to not only build it, right, but to also change with the variables. You know what I mean?
I'm sure they could. It would just be expensive and probably wouldn't be implemented on a mass scale.
Yeah.
I was just saying, like, it sucks, but even if robots fully took over, we don't live in a society where you could just pursue passion instead. Like, ideally, they would take the hard jobs and you would do, ideally, you wouldn't work. This trips me up in class all the time. Doing our dream job assignment, mm-hmm. I wouldn't, dream job's an oxymoron. I don't want to work at all. True. The dream world is a world where I don't pay into Social Security.
True. I don't have to pay for electricity and water and
grapes. I want that. Oh, I bought this house for $3,000 back in the day and a couple elderberries or something. And now it's like you have to have $3 million and like 8 roommates.
I'm so glad that you're here right now because my intrusive thoughts came in for how much I would have paid for my house in 1885.
Probably 13 elderberries, bro. The dude would be like pooping them in his pocket and be like, these schnozberries taste like schnozberries.
I'm gonna call you later. Remind me about this. I'm gonna call you later. but yeah, well, my big question, and again, I don't know if this is like like foo foo fucking ideology, but why aren't artists revered like we once were? Because you're an artist. You are entering into the space of art, right? Comedy, podcast.
The lowest form of all of them.
Bro, I think the joke maker is the glue to society. Because if you can't laugh at something, like I was just watching Ricky Gervais's special, and it's like it's true what he makes the point of, there is no offensive jokes. You are offended by it. The joke isn't. The joke is being served here to you to address an elephant in the fucking room. Let's address the elephant in the room like something happened or somebody looks a certain way or, you know, something smells a certain way. Let's address the elephant in the room. It's funny. And let's just keep it pushing. Like you're going to get your laugh. And then, you know, 10 seconds down to later, there's something else we're laughing about. And it's just going to keep happening. And that's how we're supposed to treat life is something happens. You go through it, you feel all of these emotions, laugh, and then keep it fucking pushing, Dogly. You can't, and I don't know why that type of stuff, to teach people that type of stuff through jokes, isn't honored. Or painters, like making these beautiful pieces of work, like why, like Picasso, you know what I mean? what, or what about, oh, now you go to Picasso all the way back to like fucking, who was a famous fucking like ancient painter, like Michelangelo or some shit. You know what I mean?
He's not that old, I don't think, isn't he?
Who, Picasso?
No, Michelangelo.
1600s?
I'm giving it a quick goog. Oh, never mind. Fucking 1564. I don't know what I was thinking. One of those. Yeah, 1564. I was like, ah, it was just a couple days ago. Yeah. Back in the day.
Oh, yeah. The other day.
I just don't think. I think it's because I feel like people have a sense of entitlement, for one. So it's like, I like comedy, but I don't like the way you're doing your stand up. So now I'm going to heckle you. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to leave this bad comment. Or I'm going to. I think that's a two parter. I think that's one is like they just feel entitled and they think like, oh, you know, I didn't laugh at this and you should have made me laugh because you're an entertainer.
Mm.
So I think that's part of it. And then I think the other part is as we've grown as a society, or like, I don't want to get into like the toxic masculinity thing, but when we move away from like construction being like the thing, like, dude, back in the day when my dad had a factory job, he could pay for our whole family by himself, put all our kids through school, order pizza on the weekends. We were getting two Blockbuster DVDs. Like I got one, the family got one, and I think the kids got one, because we all like three options. And he could still support a side family all by himself. And I think as we move forward, as I know, I sent it to you like an hour ago. As we move forward as a society where we're kind of taking violence away, is like, even in like the realm of like UFC and stuff like that, where like that's a look down upon sport. Why is that looked down upon? Like, that's, we can get into that one later. But people want things a certain way, and they just feel like, I don't know how to explain this, because I've been trying to like chase like what I've been thinking about this for a while, and I'm glad you brought it up. I'm gonna think about it a little more.
Good. I think that there is an issue when people say, right, oh, you know, mixed martial arts is this barbaric thing. It's sanctioned barbarism. And to me, I find that so counterintuitive, because it's like, why? Because they're punching each other? You know what I mean? Like, but you doctors prescribe medicines that could potentially lead somebody to addiction, you know? Or there's other people who work other jobs, are trade work, right? Like, that are dangerous. Whole ass motherfuckers blow up, dude, from blowing up a panel. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so let's take the least violent, right? Like, when I do this podcast, like, especially like this, I can't punch anybody. I'm perfectly safe. I'm not hurting anyone, right? Like, physically hurting anyone. Why isn't this honored a little bit more then? Why isn't this valued more?
I'm not saying that it has to be like violent or aggressive or anything like that. I think I meant like people, like, we don't get into confrontation anymore. So it's easier to just heckle somebody who's just trying to chase their passion and probably not making much money doing it, or at least what they deserve. And like, I feel like enough people just haven't been smacked in the mouth for the things they say. So they have this false confidence. And that's what I meant with like the toxic masculinity and all that kind of stuff. Like, I feel like as we move away from having those kind of values, people get a little more confident in their resolves, because there's no opposition. There's no, like, you don't see this person as a threat. You don't care about this person. Like, you started out, this guy put something out there and you decided to engage with it. Mm-hmm. You decided to leave that bad comment.
And I think too, like, especially like with hecklers, I think the thing that especially in frustrates me with that is like, a lot of you bitches, like, and bitches, because a lot of times I've ever known like really bad hecklers has been guys, and they're bitches. Like, like whole ass pussy enough to sit here and say these things while this dude's trying to put on a performance, bro. Like, whether he sucks or not, dog, like, how hard is that to do? You know what I mean? Like, you get your bitch ass up there and fucking try to do what he's doing, bro. Like, this whole set, like, all right, the fucking dead baby joke didn't land, like, you know what I mean? But don't sit here and fucking heckle the dude, bro. Like, just keep it pushing, like, let him just keep working it out, like, you know what I mean? And I mean, that is kind of like what made like Bernie Mac famous, though, was when he stepped out and he was like, I'm not scared of you motherfuckers, like, you know what I mean? Like,
I do remember that.
Like, that kind of made him famous because he was a comedian that like addressed that energy and was like, you ain't about to scare me, motherfuckers. Like, well,
you've seen the Bill Burr rant, right?
About what, dude? He's got a lot of rants.
Well, I mean, like the 10-minute, like the go fuck yourself. He's like, they're like trying to boo him off stage, and he's like, I've got 8 minutes left, and then like he keeps running out of stuff to just say, so he'll be like 3:30. He's like, no, I'm just going to sit here. And then he wins them over by, like, the last 3 minutes. And he's like, don't fucking cheer for me.
Yeah, and it's funny, man. And it's funny, like, because it happens in so many other spaces, and I recognize it, right? I try to recognize it, but I definitely recognize it in creative spaces where it's, like, you know, like dancing, right? Like, you've been to one of my battles before and shit. And so you've seen where I could be dancing, bro. And the same people who are cheering for me, telling me to win, right, then turns around and tells this man, like, kill this, you know, kill him.
Yeah,
you know,
I play both sides, so I come out on top.
Yeah, every time, bro. I tell people, I'm going to hype both y'all up so I can instigate the fuck out of this. Like, you know what I mean? And so it is, but I do it. I don't, like, try to go in too crazy unless you're my fam. Like, if it's fam, then it's fuck you all the way. Like, sorry, you're my homie, but it's fuck you all the way because it's fam.
I ain't saying don't give criticism. I'm saying don't do it in the middle of someone's set.
Yeah, but it happens while in the middle of
you know what I mean? It's always going to be a part of it. I just think it's a little more common now because less people who are usually would be, I feel like a bad person saying this, but, you know, people who were like, I would say that, but that guy is bigger than me. I don't feel like a lot of people don't have that anymore. I feel like they see someone's bigger than them, and then it's like, we're in a public space. I'll cancel this guy. So I get to be rude. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that part's going to get lost on a lot of people, as they're like, oh, this guy just wants to fucking bully people in public again. And I think we should probably bring back
bullying. We should bring back bullying. There should be a little bit of bullying that's brought back, dude. A little bit.
A little bit. There's definitely a Venn diagram of when this country was better and when there was bullying happening.
Because I got bullied, and I did get bullied. Because I got bullied, I got to a point where I was like, you don't scare me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the fuck? Like, bro, I've gotten beat up by dudes way bigger than you, fool. Like, what do you mean? Like,
not bigger than me, son.
Like,
big dog in me.
Like, bring like what? Like, bro, we gotta bring bullying back 2024. I'm fucking bring telling
back,
you.
Bullying back 2024, man. Put it on a shirt.
Put it on a fucking shirt and somebody on a shirt, man. I'm telling you, because like it does. It teaches you, like, I'm not saying that bullying is okay.
No, it's definitely not. I've never done it in my life.
I have never just looked at somebody's like, yep, I'm gonna go and talk shit to him just because he's standing there. Never.
Never.
Ever. But I have been talked to a certain way or, and I'm like, whoa, what'd you just say, dog? Like, what the fuck was that? Like, oh, whoa, like, nah, we ain't doing that. Like, or like just straight out. Like, and people can call that whatever the fuck, you know what I mean? But I do, like,
straight addict.
Like, like, bro, my son, I catch him bullying somebody at school.
Oh yeah. No.
You know what I mean? Like, as a dad, I feel like that's my job and my responsibility to set that little motherfucker straight. Because it's like, you ain't going to bully me. I'll bully you. So why are you bullying him? Like, you know, like, boy, I don't give a fuck however tall he gets. He ain't ever going to whip me. You know what I mean? So fuck that. And, you know, if I don't let my son talk to me that way, if I don't let my mama talk to me that way, why am I going to let anybody talk to me any kind of crazy ass way while I'm right here? Like, especially for comedy, bro, like, for the most part, it's like a quiet setting kind of, you know,
it's meant to be.
Yeah, so you can hear the guy telling the fucking jokes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it's kind of like going into a library and starting, like, just shouting, right? Like, asshole, like, don't do that. Like, why are you doing that? Like, why are we doing this right now? I don't know.
I just... With comedy specifically, I think because of crowd work and people just experiencing it through reels, like comedy through reels, that they think that's just how comedy goes, and not some people do that and some people don't. Some people aren't good at crowd work. Some people didn't plan on that at all. Some people have their tight five, and it's meant to be a tight five, not a tight three and 2 minutes for open discussion. Some people, and other people, are good at that. I follow a lot of comedians who like kill crowd work. Jeff Acuri, he's got some of the more wholesome ones.
See, my problem is too, I think, to be in the defense of people who may be perceived as hecklers, is it is okay, right? Like, I don't want to ever take away the talents of people like Kill Tony, like mm-hmm. Tony Hinchcliffe, David Lucas, dude, pretty much any of those regulars from Kill Tony, they can talk shit. That's what the show's kind of is. It's almost a roast battle, because when he does the interview with him, he's kind of trying to get him to do jokes. Like, I don't know.
Well, it is meant to be a roast, isn't it? Isn't it a roast panel?
Almost. I think it started off that way, but the show's format is you get somebody new, you pull them out of a bucket, you get somebody new. Right, they do a minute of jokes, and then afterwards, Kill Tony in the panel, you know, kind of gives them some critiques, where that can kind of turn into a roast. You give them some critiques, but then you also ask him, like, hey, he would ask him, like, hey, what do you do? You know, what's your love life like? Yeah. You know, what's something cool about you? Oh, your dad does this. Oh, tell me more. Like, you know, and it's just a quick little interview, but it can turn into a roast really fucking fast.
Well, I think it's because he's just probing for information for them, because a lot of them don't have a full like stand-up set. They might be funny and they might have jokes, but I feel like a lot of them are socially awkward and they don't have, like, if they were just up there by themselves, like I don't know if they would have the same crowd killing effect that they have with I Like Rocks.
Yeah.
You know, some of it is the interaction, and some of it is how, like, some of it, sometimes they are the butt of the joke.
Mm-hmm.
Like that
self-deprecation.
I'm pretty good at self-deprecation.
Who was it? Troy Bond. He's like, oh, what? He's God. Like, you think that hurts my
feelings?
You
can't say anything to me I haven't said 6 inches from the mirror.
Most bro, I wanted to get that tattoo just going down my face.
Felt that.
I felt that, like,
from the hip left. Too, man. Like, dude, I've been chasing that high. I haven't had one like on my own like that. He was off the hip with that one. But that's Troy Bond is another one I like to watch through reels. And I like his heckler ones because they're almost never they're almost like it's the exact opposite of Jeff Acuri ones. They're almost never wholesome. They're almost always just like you could have just kept your head down there, man. You could have just kept your mouth shut and he would have done the show or picked on someone else. But somebody always just gets a little too loud or a little too drunk, and it's just like fucking Seinfeld with ADHD for a minute straight. He destroys you and breaks you down like it's a Seinfeld plot.
What a fucking comparison, dude.
Have you seen his Seinfeld stuff? He does skits like that. They're pretty good too.
No.
He does. He's got some pretty good skits. You should look it up. He likes to redo he likes to do Seinfeld as if they were doing it like modern day. Like, oh, my girlfriend has an OnlyFans. And then it's like that kind of thing. Dude, that one's pretty funny. You should look up that one. Plug in other comedians.
All right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, no, but hey, give the roses to the people that you love, man. And Jordan.
Oh, no, I'll always shout it out. I love stand up. What is this? It's a comedy skit, Crash Bus.
Show's great. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Bro, and you talk about me putting my finger under the fucking words to read, and
I do your
yeah, fucking moron. It's funny because it's true. You just did it.
Yeah, because my laptop's like a foot away. look how far it is. You want me to read? Yeah, go ahead and take that in. That was some Pavlovian right there. You saw a foot and you're like, Freud's got some questions for you, brother.
Started sweating right now, dude. Started
sweating. Start salivating at the mouth, bro.
Oh my god. Hey. Oh, never mind. We're gonna save that one for later. But hey, I want to give a shout out to my girl Cruella, Miss Rick. Shout out Hector, shout out Sly. Yeah, coming through, chilling on the Instagram. Shout out Jordan, man, always watching on Facebook. Shout out my cousin Altman. Listen, I'm going to post his stuff later too. You guys make sure you follow him. This is one of the funniest, if not the funniest people I've ever met in like real life, in real life time. And his, bro, can I plug your socials? Can I plug some of your
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I'll post them later because I don't want to say too much and dox this man. But some of the shit he posts is fucking hilarious. Like the wild shit that I will repost or that I fucking, like the memes I get is 98% of the time from him.
I've been sending some of them to myself for, like from my personal account to my, the Alt Lumberjack one I made. Uh-huh. On Instagram, and I'll save them because I don't have followers that I don't have on my own channel already or my private one. Okay. So it's like I don't want to waste it there, but I don't want to like double post them either. I've got some good ones, and then I like to edit some of them, so I've got some set aside. Yeah, I've got this is weird. I've got a folder of memes. People used to send me an image and then tell me what they wanted. And then they were just like, meme this. And I'm like, all right. That was my job for a while.
That's good, dude. I'm fucking a memeologist.
Yeah, I have like, oh, I'm not kidding. Like your taxpayer dollars paid for this.
Jesus.
One of our, I remember one time we were like coming back and he's like, well, we're just not getting like the point across. I don't know what it is. He's like, I want you guys to go home. And he's like, when you do this PowerPoint again, he's like, I want you to add memes into it. And we were like, and this is like, dude, it's like salt and pepper, black hair, 23 years in the Marine Corps. It's got to put him at like 40 something if he enlisted right at 18. And his man's telling you an order, direct order, go home and make memes. And we're like, what do you mean go home and make memes? And he goes, I know PowerPoints suck. He goes, I'm sorry you guys got to go through them, but we can make them more enjoyable. He goes, you guys, he's, it got started because we would make memes in our group chat and then accidentally let them get into the main group chat. And they would be very specific ones or things that could only apply to a situation we just had. And then we'd be like, oh, sorry, wrong person or whatever. And they finally got fed up with it. So they were trying to change it in a more positive way. But that spawned like a, dude, I've got like, I saved some of them. I'll show you after. But dude, I've just got a folder of hyper specific memes that won't work the second time.
Yes.
you really gotta be there to like understand it. I don't know if this one will show very well. Ah, man, I got to turn the brightness down on this thing.
Oh, yeah, I think it's funny as hell.
You won the Star Destroyer.
No, it was funny as hell.
But, like, some of these, like they just won't be funny. Like, this is my friend on a roller coaster.
Oh, shit.
It says, Friday, what's that in the upper atmosphere? Like, some of these things just, like, they just won't click for some people. And then others are, like, I put time into these, dude. Give me a monster and a prompt, and I'll shit you this. That's me.
No,
it's a Teletubby. It's me with a Teletubby with a shotgun.
Oh my god, dude!
Well, it started. I know. I'm getting a little off topic. It started because I was doing it for my son. He had a little creeper thing, so I photoshopped him into Minecraft. Jeez. And then I was like, immediately started abusing this. Just like superpower, and just immediately just was like,
You found the meme generator, and you just went ham, huh?
yeah, there's just, well, I cut most of them, but my buddy posted a picture, and I guess I'll stop showing these, but my buddy posted a picture in his car, and that's...
Because I can't see.
Yeah, I know, but some of these are gold, bro. Some of these I put real effort into. It's a shame, you guys. It's like the lost file of Alexandria. The lost library of Alexandria. Water.
I know, dude. I needed water bad right now. I took a sip, and I felt like I was just like...
been sober for too long.
Like a fucking Decepticon. How long has it been?
20 minutes. When you asked me what that was, and I was like, "Oh, I don't know." It was my vape hitting the thing and getting knocked under the couch.
Fucking faggle doodle do. Well, one thing I wanted to ask too. I know we got into some like kind of like the controversial topics, but we were having this debate. I think it was like last weekend. But I want to hear, because I don't think I've ever really asked, is who do you have as your top three motherfucking Jedi, and then your top three Siths, but try to, let's not use
movie canon. You're on my extended universe, right?
Video game.
Let's not use video games?
Let's not use video games.
We're taking Starkiller off. We're taking Starkiller off right off rip. Who also voices Maul.
I know. He's been the greatest. He is the greatest asset to Star Wars besides Hayden.
Oh yeah, he's got range. And anybody who kind of just wants to watch Star Wars or like past Star Wars, like some kind of behind the scenes stuff, is he'll go through like his process and like what he was thinking and what brought him there. And he actually is like very forward with the process of like how he went from, I don't want to say like intern or whatever, but whatever minor roles he was doing for them, where they're like, "Hey, do you want to voice Maul?" And he was like, "Yes."
Yeah.
He's got that. That's so I dude, that guy has got like such a passion for the character, for the art. And it's like, that's some of the kind of stuff that I get inspired by for the behind the scenes stuff that is almost more interesting to me than like the end product.
He had this, like, I heard him doing this video of, damn, Kansas City just beat Buffalo for everybody who's watching the football game. But he had this interview and he was talking about, I think it was Maul. But he was talking about like the scene was like he was supposed to be meditating and focusing on like a kyber crystal or something, right? I know I'm butchering this, but he was like that when he did it for them, that he did it in such a way, they're like, "Why do you look?" They asked him, like, "Why do you look so tense?" You know what I mean? Like, "Why do you look so like this?" He's like, "Well, I'm a Sith. I'm supposed to look this way." Like, and he got into like this whole rant about how like when Jedi meditate, they're going to be more like this, but when Sith meditate, we're going to be more like this because we're wanting this certain, I guess, how did he put it? Kind of like, you know, they're wanting this certain result and all these things. But just listening to him talk about it, bro, I was like, "God damn, like, God damn, bro, like he's deep. He's deep into the characters, bro." And I hope they bring him in somehow.
That would be sick. I don't know what he would do. And honestly, that's another controversial topic, is I don't know if I would want him to, because they haven't been very good lately. And like, I don't know if I would want him like associated with the not goodness they've been putting out. Because it's a bummer, dude. Like, I think DC has like really good casting with their actors, but bad movies. Mm-hmm. It's a shame because when they reboot the universe, they're not going to keep the same actors for it.
Yeah, and it's like they didn't really get a fair fuck. Okay, so we so can what
if use the, so what if outcast. What if the next movie is actually good, but now like we don't have like a good chemistry? Like they almost all of their casting was like on point, I think.
For DC,
I think so. Who didn't you like?
For DC,
I ain't talking about how if you like the movies; those are different conversations. Who do you think bombed in their performance?
I personally,
You say bat flick, I'm coming for
it. You already know it. I just
in your hotel room tonight.
Hey, bro, it's okay, dog. You can come. I got space over here for you.
The moment there's a dark corner in there.
I didn't like bat flick, right? I watched him versus Superman.
Hold on. Did you not like his portrayal, or did you not like the killing part? Because I admit he's a little too ultra violent, but I don't think he pulls off a bad like Bruce Wayne. I think he's been kind of the first one who can do both. I'm not saying he's the best Batman, but I think he's one of the better ones of like both we've had.
I think that they were going for a rough, and I think the portrayal of Batman itself, the killing, right, this and that, I don't think was, like, yeah, it was just a little too much, right?
But I don't think his performance in doing that was exaggerated, bad, or lacking. That's my point.
I watched it again, and I did like him a little bit in Justice League. And his interactions, I do like his interactions with.
I would have taken a movie with just the nightmare scene, bro. That was supposed to be the other part of the Justice League movie. That was supposed to have an extended sequence. Would have been sick, dude.
The Flash. Why? I was trying to call him everything else, bro. I was like, why? But his interactions with him was cool. I liked their chemistry, right? So I do see where people
need to throw the book at that guy.
I don't know, dude. He went through some. Are you talking about Ben Affleck or Ezra Miller?
Ezra Miller.
He's so good, but didn't he get caught up like with some domestic violence shit?
Domestic violence, underage.
Allegedly.
I don't think allegedly. I think it's been very like
proven.
I think so. And at bare minimum, if those things haven't been, which I'm pretty sure they have, he's been arrested like since for like other unrelated things, like freaking out on people and like hotel staff and kind of stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I've heard that too.
It's crazy how like Johnny Depp was dropped at the first sign of it. What's that guy from Kang? What's Kang's real name? Jonathan Majors. Jonathan Majors. Mm-hmm. They were trying to drop him before he got the verdict.
That was crazy, bro.
I know it came guilty, but they were trying to drop him before they knew that.
Yeah.
Before it came out. So either they knew something or they were trying to get ahead of it, which I would believe more likely than anything. But it's crazy that like those allegations happened and they were just wiping their hands of it. And Ezra Miller's allegedly grooming children. Yeah. And they're just like, I don't know, we'll keep them in the hotel room for the we got a special suite for you. It locks from the inside.
Bro, no way. Dude, like my problem is, right, even allegedly, right, I think that's bad enough these days. You know, to me, though, I still believe in innocent until proven guilty. Mm-hmm. But when you are in so many different altercations or instances that these things are happening, I got to believe that you're the problem. Like, you can't just coincidentally be in these places where these allegations are being made like mm-hmm. all the fucking time. But he is good, though. I will say that as an actor, he is phenomenal as the Flash.
I don't think he had a bad Flash. I don't think I cared for the just how they wrote him. I don't think mm-hmm. his performance as the Flash was bad. I probably just reversed that more with you, where I liked almost everything they did with Batflick except the extreme off-screen murders. And then the other one is like, I probably replace it with, I just didn't care for the Flash. They have too OP of a character for him not to have some kind of flaw, or the movie would just be over. But I didn't like just care for it, I guess.
Yeah, I think he was a little too OD, though, like off the cuff. Like, he's just
I doing think all they the were shit. Trying to keep it lighthearted in a dark environment, because he usually is the comic relief of some kind.
And I like that. I mean, I did like his performance though. But but top three Jedi.
And... I was trying to Google them while you were talking. I didn't want to get them wrong. What's your first one?
Who, me?
Mm-hmm.
Favorite Jedi?
Yeah.
Qui-Gon Jinn.
Qui-Gon Jinn.
Jinn.
Mm-hmm. Am I too basic for saying Obi-Wan? I wanted to say someone else, but...
Which Obi-Wan?
I'm not going to lie. I really like Ewan McGregor's, but it doesn't really matter.
But, like, are we talking original...
I'm talking Clone Wars, bagging Mandalorians, fucking...
My guy.
Obi-Wan, fucking...
Or what did I say, original series? The Obi-Wan series where he's like the lost one. Like, you know what I mean?
That dude reminds me of my uncle. He lost his job and doesn't get a job for fucking years. He was laid off once and it's like, I'm done working. Just sit around and watch this kid all day. It's not mine.
Fuck, I said one about that the other day. I can't remember it. Fuck. Fuck, I should have looked that up. I should have wrote it down.
Yeah. Uncle Obi-Wan got laid off from the Jedi Order. He's going to come stay in our cave for a while. Getting picked up at Space Home Depot to do day labor.
Watching a seven-year-old kid
that's not his. That's his MO. Got you a toy. Sure you did, man.
Yeah, I bet you did. Oh, my God. Okay, Obi-Wan, who else?
They don't really go in order, but Mace Windu with the purple lightsaber is iconic, bro. Mm-hmm. And the first one to bring in a color that wasn't like specific to good or bad, because I do kind of have that problem with Star Wars, is it is very like black and white. And if you ever want to, like someone a little smarter than myself to explain it, George R. R. Martin has a good, I think it's a TED Talk, I want to say, about how he tries to not write like that, where Harry Potter kind of does it too. Everyone kind of does it where if like you're a bad guy, you're dressed in all black. Mm-hmm. Even the newer prequel, or not the newer sequel movies kind of do it where when Rey is questioning herself, her clothes are, that she gets the same clothes but in a darker shade.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
she's having that issue with the mirror thing.
Yeah. And it looks like torn up and stuff. But then when she's...
Because it's meant to be symbolic. I get it. But Star Wars specifically is very on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bad guys got to wear black. Good guys got to be like white, blonde, wear all white. Like,
yeah.
I like universes almost more than I like the stories they tell. Living in the Star Wars world, like I was walking with my son, we were just walking around, and he goes, "What droid would you have?" I was like, "Ooh," I was like, "That's tough." Because which droid would you have? Ooh. Chopper commits war crimes, bro.
Chopper's legit.
Chopper gets down, dude. I always shout out RTD2 for sure. Throwing the lightsaber up,
he's
flare.
He's too OG. That's too basic.
It's too basic. Chopper has committed war crimes on camera and does not apologize.
Chop is the dude. I don't think of him enough.
Doesn't he have like an insane amount, like an insane kill count?
Oh yeah.
I think it's up there.
I've seen some graphic. I don't know if you sent it to me or if I just saw it in the wild. But I've seen a graphic, dude, where it was like his kill count was up there, bro. Like, and it was
I'm pretty sure he's committed war crimes.
Favorite droid?
People don't like to think about it. I like the RTD2 design. I don't like the BB-8 design. I think it's a little.
I don't like the BB-8.
I don't like it's a little weird. But I like when it's not always RTD2, but all the different forms they have where it's like the different colors and then like the dome shape, like all that kind of stuff. We went to Disney and that was like, I made for the first time I ever went, I made a black and orange RTD2 with like a clear like dome piece. So you can see all the inner mechanics and dude, it's sick. Love that thing. It's a little RC.
Destroyers. I like destroyers. And then I really like, but like a droid. that you like that with some more interaction was the one, I can't ever remember his name, but the one from Rogue One.
Yeah, I don't remember his name either. Because it's just more numbers and I think like one letter. But I do like him. Who is his actor? Wasn't it like Stephen Merchant?
I can't remember, bro.
He's but funny.
It's fucking
it's I'm pretty sure it's one of those guys who's always with Ricky Gervais. You are being rescued. Please do not resist.
Dude, if I had to pick another Jedi. Oh, another Jedi, Plo Koon.
I was going to say that the animated series really gives a good Kit Fisto and Plo Koon. They get like a lot more like screen time because Kit Fisto dies, spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen the prequels, when they go challenge the Chancellor and he goes and does that little like his little spin. He just dies off screen or just right there. That one spin move he does kills four people in one strike. But it's crazy because Kit Fisto in the animated series gets so much more screen time just to die. Like, it was filmed the other way around, but you know what I mean? To give this guy all this depth, character, background. There's a couple times, like almost any underwater episode, it features him in it.
Yeah. He was amphibious.
Yeah. Kid Fister's got to be my favorite Jedi, bro.
You think so? Is that your number
Kit three? Kit Fister, for sure.
Kit Fisto?
Oh, Kit Fisto? No, probably Obi-Wan's still my favorite, but I was saying Kid Fister.
Yeah,
I was waiting for you to catch on. Make me say it three times.
So Mace, Obi-Wan, and then Kit as your third, or what?
I like Kit. I think Plo Koon's got to be better, though. He was just like strategically, like he was about it. He was one of the more patient ones. Oh man, did you say your three already?
I haven't said anything.
I was gonna say, crazy Yoda didn't make it to either of ours.
I was thinking that right now, like, is Yoda, but Yoda,
I don't think he is for me. I think too much happened because Yoda was in power for too long. I think if Yoda would have just let go of control of I ain't saying like he should have stopped giving wisdom to the council or consorted or whatever, but what's the, from the prequels to the originals, what is it? It's like 20 years, right?
Yes.
That means in Yoda's been alive like 800 or 900 years or whatever, but the 20 years he spends in Dagobah is just like literally the end of his life. He just dies when Luke gets there, which means had he stayed, I mean, I'm sure the terrain and the fact that this isn't real really played up the effect, but we were saying organically, he was in the very, we were in the 1 yard line of his life and he couldn't let go. He couldn't just ease into retirement. He's got hundreds of years worth of work and no, like probably no days off.
No PTO.
I think, well, I'm sure, well, there's no PTO because there's no Jedi Order anymore. but if he had just like, you know, like things could have been different. And I think he gets played up a little bit more for it. And I think it's honestly crazy that there was an open resistance and he just wasn't a part of it.
Ooh, yeah, that's.
Obi-Wan, I get he was tasked with keeping an eye on Luke. Had they lost Luke, they probably would have lost everything.
Yeah.
But there was no reason Yoda couldn't have been like helping them, training them. If you're saying he's too old to do all these things, then he shouldn't have been in power. It's only a 20-year difference. As soon as Luke turns like 18 or 19, that's the start of the story. And he's a baby when they take over. It's crazy if you keep thinking about it, because everything happens in such short periods. When the originals end and these new ones have come out, it's only been 30 years. And the government that they overthrew for 20 years, that was only, the Empire was only in for like 20 years, even in their own timeline. Not like real life, in their own timeline. The Empire only lasted 20 years. And then the next one, the New Republic, couldn't have lasted 30 years because by the time the movie comes out, there are a fucking few fleets.
Yeah. And
the power dynamics shift like every 20 to 30 years in that fucking part of the galaxy.
And they wonder why, dude. I mean, bro, you got a bunch of fucking space wizards running around out there, bro.
In The Mandalorian, they talk about how, like, they're like, oh, they don't care that there's stormtroopers here. And they're like, what are they going to do? They're just used to it. And they're like, but there's no stormtroopers and there's no Empire anymore. And they're like,
have you watched Ahsoka?
No.
Ooh, I don't want to drop a spoiler there.
Yeah, please don't. Yeah, I've been contemplating not putting a gun in my mouth lately or something. It's a lot of my time. And then I have jazzercise after that. So it's just, it's like most of my day, bro.
I would have to say favorite Jedi would have been, I don't think it's a fair answer, but it's my honest answer. It's based off of an assumption where have you watched Tales of the Jedi? Okay, is Jedi Master Count Dooku.
Yeah. I wish we kind of would have saw more. I would have loved like a series about like Qui-Gon and Dooku.
I hope they give it to us.
I don't think they're gonna. And even so, now that like all the actors who could have played them a little more like or been a little more involved or anything, like they're either past it or like getting too old.
And Liam Neeson is a hard. That's a weird looking dude.
It's a hard recast.
Even like a young version, just like his, you know, that whole, I feel like Liam Neeson gets away with kind of being himself in movies, but because these roles fit so well and there is a huge market for it, you know.
If they animate it, they'll probably keep the animated actors anyway.
Yeah.
They don't usually re-up on those anyway. But I think it's going to lose some of its charm in that. And I don't think they had quite, I could be wrong on this. I know they were like very close in the Jedi Order before he left for the Separatists, but I don't think they had like that much like history together. I think they just really respected each other.
Well, Qui-Gon was apprenticing to Dooku.
Okay, you're right. I'm stupid. We should just end the podcast now before
back
the last 10 minutes. I know, I forgot.
I was wondering where
you're right. But I was gonna lead in with I like how often like it comes up across like in the animated series. When he meets Obi-Wan, he's like, oh, he always spoke highly of you. He's like, I wish he was still around, like that kind of stuff. And I wish they had like capitalized on more stuff like that. They had all this rich history, and then it's like, we're done with it.
And it was Qui-Gon's death that led Dooku to join Sidious. Mm-hmm. He played on those emotions. And so, yeah, I feel like...
Well, they think he was always destined for it anyway because he was always drawn back to his life of luxury that he gave away. That's Count Dooku. It's not Darth Dooku.
Yeah, and he was able... Like, there was a lot of stuff that I've read on that about him, too, about like how he was so... high up there that he was able to keep his titles.
He didn't. He gave it away, and then in his 20s he went back. It's in one of the books.
Is it really? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if that's canon anymore, but in the books, he doesn't even remember having... That's Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan doesn't remember if he has a brother or not. Dooku, I think, has a brother, but they split him up when he's young. And then... when he starts having doubts, he reconnects. But he was always wearing like, he always had like this air that he was like better than people, like kind of like pretentious. And you even see it like in the animated series. I think they capitalized on that a lot better with just how like snide he is.
But Dooku,
that would have been Dooku and Qui-Gon could have probably like saved the order. A lot of people think, I read that a lot. Had they stayed together and stayed partnered and stayed like kept each other like morally accountable, like that's what people don't understand though. Star Wars is meant to be a tragedy.
Yeah.
Almost the prequels were almost completely avoidable.
Yeah. Well, the whole duel of the fates, like the reason behind its writing and all this stuff. Like, have you ever heard Dave Filoni explain that?
I love almost all the behind the scenes of almost anything, so I think so. But I think I heard it through the filter of Freddie Prinze Jr., who said he got it from Dave Filoni.
Okay.
With we were talking about how it was like the fate of Anakin and his future and how it would affect the rest of like the universe. With had Qui-Gon lived, Anakin would have had more of a father figure than the brother figure he was raised with.
Mm-hmm.
That he may have wanted but didn't need. And he needed a father figure and never got it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was desperately crying out for help and everyone was just ignoring him.
Yeah. And then there's like even with that too, like there's things I've seen like in different videos, right? Like it's obviously like fan-made stuff, but there's certain words or like certain statements that Qui-Gon's making to Anakin. And it's like, it also reflects some of the last, it's like some of his first interactions with him also mirrors some of the last interactions that he had with Obi-Wan. And then there was like some with Obi-Wan versus his, like some of his first interactions with him versus his last interactions with him. And then it shows like, damn, if Qui-Gon just would have lived, bro, yeah. Like he would have been so different. Like,
and he wasn't, he saw through like the lies of the Jedi too. Like that's what Dooku was saying. Mm-hmm. Was he was starting to he was starting to like lose his faith in the Order himself, or at least think they like. That's where like my like Yoda being like morally corrupt or whatever is what I meant from earlier.
Yeah,
he was starting to see that, and like he was well respected as a Jedi. We're talking about this like a real guy. I love lore. I love behind the scenes. I love developmental mm-hmm. things.
Mm-hmm.
I know I said it earlier, but I almost like those things more than the end products. I think they dropped the ball on the writing, and that's where, as someone who wants to be a writer, it's like, man, that's kind of what motivated me to want to start like writing my stuff. Is Palpatine returned, and that's
how.
Well, I mean, that existed. It happened. And mm-hmm. there's still a company. I feel like maybe I was being a little too hard on my own writing.
Yeah.
Palpatine Return came from Disney.
Yeah.
The Juggernaut.
Yeah. It was.
That was the best you could come up with? That's what your money got you?
And the way,
go far, dude.
Bro, the way that they released a final season of fucking Clone Wars after all these years, and then
wasn't that good though?
It was good. It was a great.
I was gonna say, wasn't that like their best? Because there's another thing you should look up. It's that the animated series only do good when they're threatened with being canceled.
Ooh,
Star Wars. The movie was horrible. Writing was bad. Animation was bad. The one that spawned everything, the Clone Wars.
Okay,
the original one with... have you seen that?
Yeah, yeah. It's when they first introduced Ahsoka.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The very first time.
Mm-hmm.
That movie was horrible. And if you rewatch it as an adult, almost every interaction ends with some character doing this. And it's the mm-hmm. only model they do. And then they like when they walk away, they like turn and then walk this way. Like almost, everything...
Almost NPC?
Exactly like that. Like they had, like the movie was rendered and it was about to be like past that, and they were just like, ship it.
This is the one.
Which is crazy because that is what got Dave Filoni like his start, where they were like, oh yeah, we trust this guy. Like, let's give him a little more. Like, that's crazy. Yeah. We almost didn't get any of it.
I think it was the introduction to some of the ideas that he had and where it could go is what sealed the deal. You know what I mean?
Well, it's because did you ever watch the cartoon that it was based off of?
Yeah. The Clone Wars cartoon. Yeah.
No. The cartoon, not the animated one. There's a cartoon that predates that, and it's the guy who did Samurai Jack, and that's cool.
Yeah, it's
cool
the Samurai Jack looking one.
Samurai Jack guy. And Primal, since we were talking about dinosaurs, Primal, he does a show called Primal, and it's about a caveman and a T-Rex that kind of like hunt together, like mm-hmm. they coexist together.
Mm-hmm.
He's more like a Neanderthal, but dude, it's crazy good. They're like short episodes. No one speaks because it's a caveman and a dinosaur. They don't talk. each episode, like, they just don't, there's no dialogue. It's all, there's a bunch of background stuff where almost if something's on screen, it gets like shown later. And that's the stuff I kind of like. I like watching it. Dude, a movie will still be having its credit scrolling, and I'll go watch like Ending Explained. I'll go watch the 10-year hell cycle the video game got stuck in. That's what keeps me up at night, man.
Yeah, there is, and I am thankful. Like, once I found out that there was books and stuff, I was thankful because it was like, there's
my bad. I just get a little excited.
There's just so much, like, there's just so much of the story that's left out, right? Like, the one thing I didn't like about episode one to episode two was this jump from, like, who the fuck is Sifo Dyas? You know what I mean? Like, who the fuck is Count Dooku? It's in the books. It's in these shows.
The Thrawn trilogy, if we're going to plug anything, is such a good book. That not even for a Star Wars property, the Thrawn trilogy is such a good book. Series. Trilogy.
And dude, in Thrawn, like, I am excited for Thrawn's what they're going to do with him. Dude, because he's nuts. People don't even understand.
Thrawn has the charisma that I feel like a lot of Star Wars villains lack. Because I feel like a lot of Star Wars villains are edgy, emo, I'm angry, I'm mad.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just like, Vader was cool because he was the first one to kind of do all that. Kylo Ren was like a watered down copy of that. He all spiced up things again because he was the first one to have double lightsabers. He was the first one to
Maul. That portrayal of Maul in episode one is everything that we get from Thrawn, but with somebody who talks eloquently,
calculated.
And I mean, dude, because
he appreciates art when they conquer places. Did you read that?
It's in not Thrawn Ascension? Because there's a trilogy.
Yeah, it's the trilogy.
But I can't remember if it's Ascension or it's one of them. But I did see. I didn't read the book, but I've read the excerpts out of it because I was doing a little research.
It's such a good book. Or it's such a good book series. And dude, it's like almost all what I was about to cut you off with earlier is Star Wars specifically. The books and video games are almost infinitely better than the movies they put out. And I like the movies. I'm not dogging on the movies. They just hold your hand a little more. There's a book. Not Dark Harvest. What is it? I don't remember, but it's literally Star Wars Zombies. They have a third Death Star somewhere, and they were working on zombies, and zombies got loose, and they were like, "Oh, our ship broke down, and we need supplies. Let us in, or whatever." And then they get in there, and it's just zombies. That's cool. I'll look that one up in a second.
I think, like, I stumbled across that one.
It's cool looking. Because on the front of it, it's a hook through a stormtrooper helmet, and it's like chains and stuff, and there's blood on it, and it's like, you don't see this.
Yeah, yeah.
In the new trilogy, it was about him not wanting to fire on people in an active, like, combat zone. And in this one, all the main characters are like a prison barge, and it's like, and dude, it's, and they're all, it's Imperial, so it's like,
angry capitalists. Thoughts on big companies like Disney being risk adverse and failing to produce good creative work.
There's a whole little subculture, and maybe not Disney specifically, but like Fox and like Sony, with just putting out a movie to keep the rights to it, and it doesn't matter if it's good or it sells, because it's more money. Them bombing that movie gets them more money than losing the rights to it forever.
That's
the Fantastic Four curse. When people keep saying there's like curses and stuff like that, you just gotta look into stuff like that. It's a lot of it gets tied up in just rights and like behind the scenes stuff. That's what gets me into that kind of stuff. And like Vin Diesel can't lose in a fight. Jason Statham can't lose in a fight on screen. It's into their script. Dwayne The Rock Johnson can't lose in a fight. It's scripted. That's a part of their contract. Yeah, that's a part of their contract they sign when they sign on to movies.
Well, that's also, I think, a big fucking issue that we have.
Well, that's crazy that we've even, like, come to that, where that's, like, concessions they get to make. Batman, Christian Bale is, like, wearing platformers in those.
Yeah. Well, Tom Cruise wears like stilts in all his
movies. Tom Cruise is like a short man. I hope he doesn't dox me for saying that, but that man is short.
Scientology will kidnap.
Scientology will not get you taller, buddy.
Hey, but now
it might do a lot for you, but it will not make you taller.
I will say that I do like some of the risks that they've tried to take, but I think they're taking them for the wrong reasons, and that's why it's not working. You get what I'm saying? Because it's like, cool, like we make Rey. I know a lot of people were thinking that people who didn't like Rey, right, was caught up on the idea that she's a girl. No, because
I'm sure there are people there.
There are people, right? But for me myself, a fan, I love Ahsoka Tano. I think she's fucking badass. One of the best duelists, one of the coolest duelists, using two in one, you know, one in each hand. And her training, her whole backstory, everything is crazy. Like, crazy as fuck. But she got there somehow. And the way that they tried to do Luke, and the way that they tried to do... because I feel like Luke got too powerful too fast. And I know...
Yeah, I would say that too.
Son of the Chosen One, whatever. You know what I mean? But got too powerful too fast. And here you have this all-powerful, scary Sith dude who she's going toe-to-toe with in the first movie?
Yeah.
I think that's crazy. And you don't build her up. You're not building her up. There's no excitement. All of a sudden, she's a fucking Palpatine, and she can heal people. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, it makes no sense, bro.
My problem with, like, the sequels specifically is that they were all given, like, separate scripts. Like, Poe was supposed to die in the first movie, but they needed him another one, so they... That scene where he just disappears and they're like, his body should have been here. He was meant to die. They killed him off, but they already shot it. And the other director was like, no, he's in here. So he just shows up again. That's not even explained. They just see him and they hug. That emotional seeing each other again is supposed to like fill in for the fact that they just had a big plot hole.
No fucking way, bro.
There's a bunch of stuff like that. And that one could be wrong. I kind of remember that one a little older. But almost all of that, like, when you see... You make a lot... We like to make headcanons and excuses, but a lot of the times it comes either down to, like, bad writing or, like, just decisions and budget that they just didn't have the time for.
I think some of it, too, is that people are trying to go for that... What's the director's name? The fucking Pulp Fiction dude.
Tarantino.
Tarantino, like Pulp Fiction, right? Where they have the briefcase. He looks in the briefcase, but you never see what's in there. Right? I was watching a video on this and he goes to explain. He's like, I don't want to show it to you because now it's your experience. You can assume whatever.
I just watched that today. He was using Aldo Rain from, I can't believe I'm forgetting the movie now. He used Aldo Rain's burn or rope neck. He's like, I know what it is. He goes, but if you and the next three people come up with different reasons to why he has the rope burn, like you kind of made that movie in your head. Yes. But if I show it, he goes, you're going to throw that away. He goes, I want you to have that. He goes, it's your movie.
Yeah. I feel like a little bit with Rey. They're going with that experience, but for a movie, for a plot that is extended all these fucking years, you can't do that one. You can't do that one, bro. That one doesn't work, especially if this is supposed to be the end of the Skywalker. You throw all of this? No way.
But it wasn't meant to be, though, is like another issue. They didn't decide on her origin until almost before the end of the shooting. They kept changing it. She was supposed to be, they wanted her to be a Kenobi, and they're like, well, we couldn't make it make sense. They wanted something else, and then they just decided not to do it. And then he literally, I do remember this. He said he just wanted you to not be able to tell it was coming. That's how they arrived at that decision. Which movie is that get revealed in? It's the second one, right? Out of the three?
She's a Palpatine?
It's at the end of the second one, right? Or is it the beginning of the third?
Beginning of the third.
Is it the beginning of the third?
Beginning of the third, because he has the Wayfinder. It's the initial scene is him.
I watched them all in like the same weekend, so it all blurs into one long.
I watch them out of order all the time, depending on how I feel. And
I like to watch them in their threes, but I don't really.
Yeah. I don't watch seven, period.
I like to watch videos about it so I can stay current with what it's about, but I don't like to actually consume the media itself. I just have to consume media or the voices just get louder.
Well, hey, listen, I'm gonna park this one right here. I'm gonna actually get ready to call my son too. Mm-hmm. But thank
you. Call me after you said to remind you.
Oh yeah, this will be a quick call. But dude, thank you, bro. Thank you.
And I back on, bro. I appreciate it.
I know we touched into some shit. Thank you for everybody who's watching live. We're gonna do this again because I got some stuff in my book, bitch.
I wanna shout out the Angry Capitalist, real homie coming through.
Hey, yes, sir.
I don't know if he's still watching right now, but came on as a guest. Really appreciated that. We were talking like after, and I was like, hey, man, like you should consider a podcast. And like, he's already kind of doing better. He's putting more content out.
Shout out to Capitalist, man. Let's go.
And he's like, he's really on his stuff, and he shoots me stuff like, oh, have you considered this? Have you like looked into this, or like, are you at this yet? And I'm like, nah, man, like you're getting there before I am.
Nice.
And he's just, I've known that guy, it's gotta be, I think we said to like 12 or 13 years now, and he's literally like the longest friend I've had in my life. Like I haven't talked to anyone else since. Yay! All right, I'll leave it there, but shout out, man, I just appreciate it. About to turn our Anirondacks trip into Brokeback Mountain, New York style. Whatever.
Oh my god, nah! But shout out, Angry Capitalist, man, came in and he hung out. He's been in here, I think, almost the whole time, bro. So, fucking, I myself appreciate that, my guy. You know, a friend of him is a friend of I. Okay, but thank you, bro. Hey, shout out, Unlucky Charms. Alternative Lumberjack, all that. I'll make sure to get his socials out there and shit. Follow his
those are my socials right there. Alternative Lumberjack is my Instagram, and the Unlucky Charms Pod is our podcast on YouTube.
There you go. Y'all heard it here first. But all right, bro. Hey, I'm gonna shoot you a text in a second, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, my brother. Thank you, man.
All right.
That was Alternative Motherfucking Alternative Lumberjack. Or maybe I need to do like the silent host voice. That was Alternative Lumberjack coming to you by way of the smoking section. For everybody who's been watching and will watch, thank you. Yeah, if you guys are here until the fucking end, thank you, seriously. That's my guy. We're going to be doing some more of these. Yeah, and we're going to try to do a lot with interacting with chat and taking in some topics that we could talk about and shit. Tune in. Yeah, it's the smoking section. You already know the deal. Corpse collection, all that. Shout out everybody who's been watching on Instagram. Shout out everybody who watched on Facebook and will watch later again. Hope you guys have a cool day. Hope you have a great week, month, year, and life. Until next time, I'll see y'all on the flip side.